It was in 2017 during the ICO craze that this podcast was birthed. And we're not the only ones who jumped into the crypto madness 4 years ago. Today's guest, Richard Fecchio, also saw the potential for blockchain around the same time. As the CEO of AltFins, Richard's built an online platform for screening and analysis of cryptocurrencies. The more you know, the better you can invest and trade. So become a better investor and trader today on episode number 544 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Who's bad?
Welcome to episode 54 of the Bad Crypto Podcast with Richard Fecchio. Go feck yourself.
That's good. That's good. Hello, Sir Lord Travis.
Hello, Sir Lord Chocom. And hello to all of you millions of people tuning in. Like, I don't know, we're up to almost a quarter billion people listening to every episode.
Yeah, and you have a new member to your family.
I do. Well, I don't know if I still have it by the time that the show airs, but I guess it airs tonight. So I guess I do. I got a new little puppy dog, a rat terrier mix named Tookie. And Tookie is an explorer. And if Tookie sees a little crack in a door or in a fence, Tookie wants to run and go see what the hell it is. And so I had to get some stuff to train this dog so it doesn't run away.
Shot collar. Boom, shaka. Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. We're glad you're here, and we got a great interview for you today. But first, Sir Lord Travis is going to tell you about our sponsor.
This is like a wrap. It looks like the way that it's laid out here. If you're a long-term investor in Ethereum, then listen up. What's better than hold and eat? It doesn't rhyme, though. It doesn't rhyme.
Keep going. I like it.
Yield on that ETH at the same time.
What?
That ETH. So, you know, there's this thing called DeFi, which is pretty handy. And Ethereum 2.0 is coming out. So Ethereum holders can earn a yield on their holding and they can secure the network through staking. But there's a catch. You're earning a yield through staking is only available to investors with 32 ETH or more. So unless you hold over $100,000 worth of ETH, you cannot take part in that staking.
Bummer.
Oh, but you can now because Matrixport is releasing their own ETH 2.0 staking product, which is going to allow you to invest with as little as 5 ETH, which is still a lot, but it's just like one pudgy penguin NFT. So take advantage of the benefits of staking your Ethereum with Matrix Point. The yield is 9% APY, and you can do that at badco.in/matrixport. That's right, just like the Matrix, and then add port at the end, and then you can also download their app, Matrix Port. Check it out. Oh,
badco.in/matrixport.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you guys get ready to screen and analyze your cryptocurrencies because you're going to learn how to do it right now. How do you jump from being an equity research analyst at investment banks on Wall Street to being the CEO of a website that tracks the crypto world? Well, we're going to find out today as we welcome the CEO of AltFins, Richard Fecchio, to the show. And the website is altfins.com. Richard, welcome to Bad Crypto.
Thanks. Thanks, Joel. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with an answer to that very question. Talk a little bit about what you were doing on Wall Street, how long you were doing it, and then what caught your attention, you know, in the crypto world.
Sure. So I spent most of my career really on traditional Wall Street in the sense that for 14 years, I was an equity research analyst. That means I researched and published reports and recommendations primarily on technology companies. So I focused on the technology sector. And we basically, I worked at these mid-tier investment banks and brokerage houses, where we advised institutional investors and mutual funds, hedge funds, family offices, pension funds, and we advised them on which stocks to own in their portfolio. And I focus specifically on technology companies.
Let's stop there for a second, because that tech sector, you know, has been so hot. I got into the internet early. I remember watching the initial run, you know, of Yahoo and these early, you know, ones to the dot-com era. Then the dot-com bubble burst because these businesses were overvalued. They didn't have real business models. And then along came the second wave, right? And so you were there when, you know, Facebook and Google and these others popped. What I have to know, the euphoria around that time, what was that like?
Yeah, so my career actually started in 2000, March of 2000, when I got hired by a investment bank for the first time. And that was right around when the dot-com bubble burst. And so I remember the big hype then, and really the first 2 years of my career, all I kind of saw is just declines. As NASDAQ declined by 75%, and I was just depressed. Everything I recommended just went down in the toilet. So
everybody was crying, like, "I'm gonna get you, Richard. How did you recommend this stock to me?"
It was a rough beginning for my career. I mean, it was swimming upstream, and I learned a lot at that point as well. And then, the dust settled. Internet obviously became huge, but the hype around it was in the beginning much bigger than the product and the value of the companies themselves, the value that they provided. I'm not even talking about the market cap value. But then the dust settles, and you know, the rubble amongst that rubble rose companies that, you know, that became huge and to this day are huge drivers of technology adoption, right? So that was a huge opportunity, and that these cycles and the adoption of some of these technologies that I've seen along my career. So, you know, the internet adoption, just access to internet adoption, I'm talking about from AOL and so on. But then the adoption of e-commerce, online advertising, then came mobile smartphone device adoption, and then, you know, mobile commerce and so on. You know, none of these really seem to compare to the speed and the pace of innovation that we're seeing right now in the blockchain space and the cryptocurrency space. It's just mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And the DeFi space as well. And now the NFTs have come around. It's faster, even though already all those prior phenomenons that I've talked about, that the technology adoptions that I talked about, were already so fast. But this is even faster because it seems to be happening on the global scale and like, it's so many people are contributing to it.
Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of blockchain and decentralization.
Sort of crowdsourced, if you will, this entire adoption and innovation.
Right. That's the beauty of blockchain.
It's open source and right.
So what led you down the crypto rabbit hole then? Because I have a feeling you started going down there around the same time that we did.
Well, I don't know, probably later. I mean, I really caught the bug in 2017, ICO, you know, okay, all right. So
we're
on the same page then. Yeah. So it was purely as I was used to sort of trading and investing into stocks and technology companies. Now a new asset came along and I wanted to make money and speculate, and so... So I jumped into it, and that led to sort of, you know, just realization that it's a real asset class. Over time, I gained initially, honestly, I was very skeptical. I guess a lot of people are in the beginning, until you really dig in and you start seeing some use cases and the technology and adoption. And so I was very skeptical, but over time, I've come around to the view that this is really a new asset class, and that there's going to be a whole new infrastructure built around it. And as I was trading cryptocurrencies at the time, I had to open up accounts across multiple exchanges, and data was coming from multiple sources, and I just grew extremely frustrated, and it was really difficult to manage everything, just getting the information and tracking prices and everything else that I decided basically with a group of developers to create a platform that helps me and helps other users essentially make sense and kind of monitor the developments and the prices.
That's kind of the way a lot of things get built, right? I remember when Yang and Philo built Yahoo. It was basically they did it in the early days of the web to catalog their own bookmarks, right? Because there were so many sites to go to. And then friends started coming to them and say, hey, you should add this to your catalog and this. And pretty soon, yet another hierarchically organized oracle, which is what Yahoo actually stands for, was born. Mm-hmm. And it became, the web's first real directory, not so much a search engine, but a directory. And people build things because, oh, I wish that this existed. It doesn't. Okay, I'll build it. So you built it. Yeah. The website is altfins.com. I'm logged in here to my account. I see a lot going on here. Give us a high level overview of what can be done with this tool.
Right. Yeah, so we think of ourselves as a place where you can discover trading ideas. So you can screen the market based on a lot of different technical indicators like MACD, RSI, a moving average crossover. So it's really, for the most part at this point, a tool for technical trade or technical analysis of altcoins. You can slice and dice the data various ways. You can create your own sort of scanners and screeners and find essentially the coins that, either are trending up strongly, are breaking out through the resistance zones and so on. We detect certain chart patterns. So while a lot of projects in the sort of the financial area of cryptocurrencies focus on the actual execution, right? The exchanges and other apps try to give the users the best price, the lowest commissions, the best execution, the highest liquidity. We really focus on the pre-trade analysis. Okay, great, I can execute a trade here, but what should I be buying or selling and why? Can I create some kind of a strategy? And that's what Altfin serves, is really the pre-trade analysis, strategy, a creation and framework creation for the users. And so that's what I felt like was missing at the time when I jumped into this space, and to the great extent still is missing. And we've got a long ways to go to make it real, to continue to add value to the tool. But I think already today it's quite unique, I think, in the marketplace, because again, everyone seems to focus on the actual trade execution, but not on helping users on why and what should I be trading.
Well, speaking of trading, I want to timestamp this for August 23rd, 10 a.m., so that we have a point of reference for where the market cap is right now. It's at $2.2 trillion. Bitcoin has broken through $50,000 again. If you're listening in the future, and you are, because there's no way you could listen to this in the past, then for all we know, Bitcoin is at 100 or 25. I don't know. Ethereum's at 33.42. Cardano's on a run, making its way to $3. This to me seems very much indicative that it indicates that we are not yet out of the bull market. And so what does the TA, the technical analysis, show us? Is the biggest run yet to come before we see the pullback?
Well, we had a massive correction. So if we just look at this year, the volatility in the cryptocurrency markets is obviously never ceased to amaze us. But just this year, obviously, we started off with Bitcoin at 30,000. We went to 65 mid-May, right? And altcoins blew up even more, and DeFi as well, especially. And then we had a massive pullback, right? A lot of negative sentiment and news, and it kind of feeds on itself, just the way it feeds on itself on the way up, it fed on itself on the way down. And we retreated by 50% in Bitcoin. Ethereum was down over 60% from 4,400 to 1,700 during that time, a couple of months in June, July or so. And most of the other altcoins, honestly, were down 70 to 90%. It was massive reset. And frankly, I'd say that was a mini bear market. your traditional definition of bear market is being down by 20%. Okay, let's just say crypto is a whole different animal, and we'll say, okay, it's 40% drawdown is a bear market. We were even down more than that. So we were in a bear market, and honestly, I thought we were going to be in a bear market longer than this, but we've bounced back and made up a lot of the ground, you know, 2/3 of the way. And our indicators, so on our platform, we rank rate the trends on the short-term, medium, and long-term basis. And the short-term and medium terms are clearly now in the uptrend across most of the altcoins. I mean, there are still some that are not, but I'd say 2/3 of the altcoins are indicating an uptrend on the short-term and the medium-term basis. The long-term basis is still sort of neutral-ish, in some cases still down. So we've got some ways to go before we completely reestablish the uptrend. And we're seeing some coins, like you mentioned Cardano, there's a bunch of others like Solana, and sort of layer one names, Terra Luna, that are breaking into all-time highs. So there's been clearly a big trend reversal. Most of the altcoins are also breaking through above their 200-day moving averages, which is also a big bullish sign for a trend reversal. So I'd say we're in uptrend now. I think that we are still, we still have a lot of juice left in this uptrend because we've digested a lot of the negative news. We've shaken off a lot of the weak hands on the way down and built a really solid base for Bitcoin. And that creates a really good backdrop for the altcoins as well.
But, you know, myself and a number of others in the space have said it doesn't make sense for the run to end this soon based on historical trends, right? Every time we've seen the halving, it's usually about 18 months post-halving that we hit our highs. And that would put us somewhere around, what, December, January for this run. And so my personal take, and I'm not a financial advisor, has been that I agree with a lot of the people that say we're going to see a six-figure Bitcoin this year, an explosive market. And I think we're starting to feel now with Bitcoin passing 50 that, all right, this is actually really possible.
I agree with you. Yes, it's still possible. When we look at the type of funds that are getting involved, some of the studies that are showing that, double digit percentage adoption of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies among institutional funds, whether that's already in place now or planning in the next 6 to 12 months. That's big money coming in, right? And even the big banks that we're seeing that are starting some passive investment funds from JP Morgan and Goldman and others. That money will soak up a lot of the liquidity here. So it wouldn't surprise me. And it's an asset class that, especially starting with Bitcoin, that I think most realize they have to have in their portfolio to not to lag, the other funds that have invested some portion of their funds in Bitcoin, but also for some diversification and purposes as well. Well, risk diversification. So it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, but we don't focus on such really long term, a forecast. It's more of a fundamental view, I guess, maybe of the space. We kind of look out in the next few months, time frame. And right now, the trends continue. Trends have the tendency to continue, right? And until they don't, but I think we're still early in this sort of latest uptrend where I do see the trend continue for a few months before we peak.
I'm seeing some terminology here on the site that I'm not totally clear on which is which. For example, you have pattern stages and I see breakout and emerging, which is what's better?
Yeah.
Something's breaking out or it's emerging?
Yeah. So breakouts, so, you know, one of the key concepts in technical analysis, and it's still, even for fundamental investors, it's important to know the support and resistance areas or zones. And, you know, these are places, you know, these are prices of coins that where psychologically investors tend to think it's too pricey and they start selling. So it becomes a resistance several times. The price approaches that point and retreats, it becomes a resistance. And when you break through that resistance, that's kind of when you know you've soaked up all the weak hands, all the supply, all those investors who are, you know, selling or trimming their positions. You've soaked it all up. You've the bulls have now overpowered the sellers. If you pass that threshold, right? For Cardano, it was $1.50 for a long time. And now we've moved beyond that. And now we're pushing almost $3. So when you break through that resistance, that's called a breakout. A lot of times you're approaching that resistance or approaching support level. And that forms a certain pattern. And when you're kind of bouncing between the support and the resistance, that's called an emerging pattern, because the completed or breakout pattern is once you break through the resistance or break through the support, that's a breakout. But when you're just kind of bouncing in between, you can still trade that, but those are emerging patterns.
I've had times in my life where I feel
these are concepts that we also explain and teach on the site, as well as in our YouTube videos and tutorials that we have. You know, support and resistance is one of the key concepts. Trend is another extremely important concept. That's probably number one. When you get the trend right, you've 50% there. And then also momentum is extremely important as well. But trend and resistance and support are the key terms.
It's good that there are tools to do this, because I'm not a technical analysis kind of guy, but I do understand. I can look at a chart and I can see, oh, this is busting out above this particular trend line. This looks to be real favorable right here. So for people that are traders or want to be successful retail investors, what are some strategies that you put forth to help people, you know, be in the black and not in the red?
Yeah. So, you know, for it also depends, of course, on the market state, right? When 2 or 3 months ago, markets were going down, you know, buying it and trying to catch the low was not the right strategy. So one of the things, maybe I'll start with what not to do, which is, if you're a trader, not necessarily a long-term investor, is just hodling and doesn't care about the dips and doesn't want to take advantage of these swings. But if you're more of a technical analysis or a trader, what you don't want to do is trade against the trend, right? So one of the key things is if the trend is down, don't try to catch the bottom. Let the price tell you where the bottom is. You may not catch the exact bottom. You will never catch the exact bottom, because if you're a trend trader, you will wait for the trend to establish itself. But that's okay. You know, it's okay to give up some of that initial trend development and jump in midstream. So right now we're in an uptrend. You know, so easiest type of phase of the market, which is you buy the dips, you know, so you find, again, with our tool, you can find coins that are in an uptrend on the short term, medium term basis. And then you can also screen for those that are happen to be trading down today or happen to be trading down for the last week. And so those are buying opportunities. When you have a clearly established uptrend, you wait for those and pullbacks. And there's always some pullbacks. I mean, there's always a group of investors who have made money. Now they're taking some money off the table. They're trimming their, you know, position or selling out completely. That leads to a downswing that will once again consolidate and hopefully lead to another upswing. So buying the dips or, you know, as we call it, pullbacks in an uptrend, and also sort of the breakouts that we talked about. You know, you're monitoring positions that are bumping up against a certain level where they're getting rejected once, two, three, four times, but they're kind of sort of more frequently bumping up against that resistance. Well, you wait for that resistance breakout, and typically resistance breakouts are followed by a continued advance thereafter in the subsequent days. So those are two basic strategies that retail investors can participate in. We have several on our website that we outline and help basically give investors the tools to execute. But those are two that I think are relatively easy to grasp and execute as well.
It seems to me that just as in traditional stock markets and all markets, really, commodities and precious metals and such, there are whales who manipulate. And one of the other indicators to me that we're not done with this bull run yet is that those whales want to make a lot more money. And to do so, they've got to run or allow Bitcoin to run back up, and hit six figures, right? In order to bring it back down again, you got to have a top to sell at in order to buy in and shake out from weak hands. So I would think if for no other reason than those who manipulate markets want to see this run up to gain some massive profits before it pulls back. Is that a realistic view of the world and what's happening?
So I share the view that the psychology of trading is the same across the asset classes, stocks, bonds, commodities, as you mentioned, and others. There are always going to be sort of cycles, and there's going to be sort of these resistance support areas where for whatever reason that, that asset appears to the investors as overpriced or undervalued. And so that psychology and basically its technical analysis applies to all these asset classes. Now, specifically what you mentioned around whales accumulating, I mean, we're seeing that now. Whales are accumulating. When you look at some of the blockchain metrics around the net inflows and outflows from and in-out exchanges, what we're seeing is a lot more outflows from exchanges than inflows, which indicates that the big holders of Bitcoin and buyers of Bitcoins are kind of stashing it on their own private wallets and not moving it to the exchanges where they typically sell it. The big guys don't keep their Bitcoins on exchanges. They only move it to the exchanges when they want to sell it. So we're seeing net positive flows in the sense that they're actually moving Bitcoins out of exchanges, which would indicate that they are looking to hold their positions for longer. I don't know where that level is where they will start taking profit. I think that 100,000 level is going to be another very strong psychological level where everyone's going to think, well, it's kind of expensive here until we again pull back and absorb all that and break through that again in the next couple of years, perhaps.
I think another indicator of how hot the market is the NFT space, which, we referenced earlier, and a story just broke this week that Visa, yes, that Visa, the credit card company, invested in a CryptoPunk. They spent $165,000 worth of ETH, which brings NFTs more mainstream. I think it's a flexing move. It's a publicity move, right? They're riding the wave of everybody talking. But at the same time, they have to believe it's a good investment, right?
I suppose, certainly. I don't think they're in the business of just throwing crap on the wall and see what sticks. So I'm sure they've done their work. And they probably want to be a bigger player in the space. These NFTs, I must say, they've really blown me away and surprised me. I didn't think it was going to be this big this soon. And it's amazing. It's really giving a lot of artists and people, with following, right, that we may not have ever heard of, but have some presence on social media, but also just some quality good work that now they have an outlet to monetize it with. It's amazing, and I'm not as up to speed as I'd like to be on it, But clearly, anything right now in terms of altcoins that touches NFT is hot. So, you know, Solana's launched Solana Art, which was another, you know, one of these catalysts for that particular project that has catalyzed the price to hit new all-time highs. And, you know, we're seeing that with a number of other sort of NFT related announcements and altcoins. So one of the things that actually users can do on our side, we actually aggregate tweets from thousands of these projects into a single news feed. Now, these are not feeds from the users. These are not, you know, that all that garbage sometimes or just noise from users tweeting back and forth. These are announcements from the actual blockchains projects or cryptocurrency projects, but we've aggregated into a single feed, and that users can now filter and search for things such as NFT, or they want to see all the projects that have announcements around airdrops or listing and so on. So, you know, one way to keep a track of what's going on in the NFT space is to actually leverage this real-time news feed that we've created on our site as well. But NFTs have really surprised me. And it's almost like the DeFis were, you know, the huge hit of 2020, and on NFTs it's 2021. I cannot imagine what's going to be next year, but I'm sure it's going to be something that I never anticipated.
Well, I think part of it is the mashup of those two, right? Of NFT and DeFi. We're starting to see that happen where people are staking and earning on their NFTs. And so a lot of these projects are looking at how do we add value to these, you know, this pretty artwork that we created. Is it just artwork, or does it also, you know, have a yield farm attached to it? Does it have other benefits such as membership, you know, access? Do you get a token for holding it? Are you like Gary V and every NFT comes with an experience, you know, a conference or gift goats or whatever? So I think it's fascinating. Are you going to be adding any type of NFT tracking to AltFins?
We're adding coins to our platform as they emerge. Mm-hmm. You know, what we will be adding is more some of the, let's call it, fundamental data, right? I mean, the fundamental data in this space, in cryptocurrencies, generally speaking, refers to sort of on-chain data, right? How many transactions are being conducted, what the size, average size, if it's rising or declining, and, you know, how many users are on that project on-chain blockchain, so that you have ways of gauging whether that project's adoption is growing or not. So those are types of the on-chain data that we're going to be adding. And some projects like the DeFi projects, Uniswaps of the world and Axie Infinity and others, have real revenues, right? One inch exchange and you know, a lot of the DEXs have real revenues. So now we can start actually tracking those revenues and look at price to sales ratios that we are used to in the traditional financial world of, you know, valuing assets. We're probably still going to have to rely on a lot of alternative sort of analytics to value these assets in the crypto world. But those are the kinds that we'd like to add over time to our platform is, you know, let's call them a fundamental bucket of analytics in addition to the technical analytics that we have.
But why would you, Richard? It's just a fad. It's just tulips. Crypto's, you know, just a scam.
The DeFi is what really convinced me that cryptocurrencies and blockchain and whatever you want to call them, various shapes and forms, are here to stay. Because I can really see very strong use cases, and at least in the financial or banking world, we are seeing real adoption, usage, real benefits and value provided in terms of the yields that they're generating, in terms of, you know, obviously the lending and borrowing that's happening, the alternatives to saving and checking accounts, almost, if you will. These are real world cases, you know, the platforms to trade perpetuals and other instruments, insurance, that you can actually start buying insurance. So it's phenomenal. So those are the kind of use cases that are, you know, we can, even the everyday person can wrap their mind around and say, okay, I get that. That actually makes sense. And it is going to be easier than it is in a traditional traditional world today. So it makes sense to gravitate and to exist in the future. So that really convinced me that these that this movement or this trend is here to stay.
Are you still a licensed financial advisor?
No, I'm no longer okay. That. And, of course, everything I said is not to be taken as a financial advice as well.
Yeah.
But I'm no longer. I used to be, but I'm no longer.
Well, then for you personally, not as financial advice, which altcoins do you have your eye on and are you bullish on?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're a beginner, you ought to have an allocation to Bitcoin and Ethereum. But beyond that, I really like Uniswap. I mean, it's, the biggest DEX, these are names that are not going to be surprising perhaps, but Perpetual is a relatively new one that I mentioned as well, PERP, that is launching and developing a platform for trading of perpetual contracts. And along the same line, there's another one called DXDY that just did an airdrop. And I think we'll start trading in the next couple of weeks.
Well, what's that? EXDY?
No, sorry. D as in Daniel, XDY. It's not trading yet. I think it'll list on Uniswap or one of the DEXs in the beginning. And then I'm sure the other exchanges will list it very quickly thereafter. But that's a project that has some real Silicon Valley backing and developers. And that's basically... perpetuals, trading of perpetuals on a decentralized exchange.
When you say a perpetual, what does that mean?
Perpetual contracts. So these are, right now Binance and some of the centralized exchanges are the big players. But I think that the decentralized exchanges will take over, especially now Binance is kind of pulling back because of all the regulatory pushback they're getting. So they're actually kind of pulling back from perpetual contracts. And I think that opens up an opportunity for some of the decentralized applications. So those are some of the projects that I would keep an eye on. Some are well-established, obviously, that I think everyone has to have in their portfolio. And some are a little more speculative that could have some big...
It's a great symbol. Perp. So the website is altfins.com. There's a lot you can do for free on the site. Recommend that you guys go check it out. You can have access to some the tools as a guest. You can have even more if you just register for free. And then there's some paid plans as well that you can check out. This is not a sponsored interview. We're not earning anything off of you guys signing up over there. We just think this is a cool tool and recommend you check it out. Richard, thanks for coming on today and sharing your genius with us.
Thank you for having me on, Joel. I appreciate it. And good luck to everyone.
That was a fun interview, so much so that I don't even think I asked a question. You had all the questions, Lord Joel.
Well, you were unavailable at the time, and so I proceeded with the interview without you. So you should go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't recall seeing this AltFins thing. And I remember that I would have said, go fuck yourself. I probably would have said that earlier, but I hadn't seen it before.
You know, it's funny, before the interview, you mentioned the value of a pudgy penguin. And it's so funny. We now live in this era that we're talking about gift goats and pudgy penguins and
bored apes.
I mean, the list, my wallet looks like a freaking zoo now.
Yeah. You know, I have found Joel on this. We were talking about the other day, like, how do we track and see all this other stuff? And it's really fun. There is there's an NFT section on Etherscan that we discovered. And what I have found by going on there is I have seen where some of these different tokens are available, like which ones are popping out the most. Like you're able to see like which tokens have sold the most in the last 24 hours, like actual data. And so then I'm going over and like snagging some NFTs. Like I did this yesterday. I snagged a whole bunch of different NFTs. Here's the link, because I don't know if you can actually find it on the browser anywhere. I don't actually see where it is. Actually, I do see where it is. If you go under tokens on Etherscan and then scroll down to ERC-721 top tokens, we can see. So today in the last 24 hours, there's been one that's popped out called Mutant Ape Yacht Club. And there's been 19,000 transfers in the last 24 hours, and I've not seen that one. I did see that Killis came out, Blockchain Bikers. There were some other ones. Al Cabones was one that came out last night that I ended up snagging one. Cat Shit Crazy. So it was just funny to see all of the different, like, I can literally see, wow, look at all the actual transactions that are happening. So I've not purchased any Mutant Ape Yacht Clubs, but I'm going to grab the contract. I'm going to go send it over into OpenSea, and I'm going to take a look and see what the floor is on that particular one. Mutant Ape Yacht Club. It is verified, and the floor is 6.85 ETH already. Wow. Are you shitting me?
Good grief. And there's 20,000 of them.
What?
Crazy. You know, so I've got some questions around this. One big question. How long can this go on? And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, this is not a WAX phenomenon. This is an Ethereum phenomenon, that these generative projects, they are now popping up. I'm seeing, like, just for today, which is Sunday, August 29th, 2021, I saw on rarity.tools or something like 7 or 8 that are launching today. It was just a month or so ago that you'd see like 1, maybe 2 a day, now 7 or 8. And now people are starting to come into this at the same speed that they were coming into, you know, NFTs in that first wave. Like, right. This is the second wave. So the question, how long can it go on? How many projects are sustainable? And as long as more people are coming in, is there a ton of room for growth? Wow. What do you think?
I think so. I'm just kind of blown away by this Mutant Ape Yacht Club. I think it's actually connected to the original company, because it says Mutant Ape Yacht Club is a collection of up to 20,000 mutant apes that can only be created by exposing an existing bored ape to a vial of mutant serum or by a mutant ape in the public sale. And I guess they just had the public sale, but I didn't hear about it. And there's 6,800 owners of this thing. Just came out. Floor price 6.85 ETH. And what's ETH right now? Like $3,100 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So you're talking about that. So you're talking about, we're talking about a lot of money. I think it's like 635. Yeah, it's over $20,000, $21,000 for pixels on the screen. And that people love them. Like, there's just, it's just unbelievable how much some of these art pieces are going for.
Wow. So you're saying it could be interesting to speculate on one of these items that has recently sold out, right? Because I'm looking here at this too. And Aaron, if you want to drop this in the show notes, it's etherscan.io/tokens-NFT. And you can
see. Have you seen this link before, Joel?
No, I've not seen this before. I'm looking at it right
now. I've been using this now. I found it last night, and I got like a bunch of different ones last night, because it's almost like, all right, these just came out. So this is kind of like, I didn't hear of Alga Bones. Like, I didn't see that on anything, but then I did see it on Nifty Drops today. I did see it pop up, but some of these, I didn't see Mutant Ape Yacht Club popping out anywhere.
Well, I think here's the thing, is you're looking at the ones that have sold out that you might've missed. And so my strategy on something like that is to just hit the floor, right? Because if they sold out and there's demand and you can pick one up cheap, then odds are, if they're going to go up, they're all going to go up, even the ones on the floor.
Mm-hmm. But the bodies at the floor. There's this one, Creature World, that I've not seen. And I'm actually grabbing that contract address, putting it in here. Here's Creature World. It's a verified account. Let's see what the floor is on this one. 0.32. Yeah, I saw these last night. These just don't look cool to me. These are like really goofy looking derpy.
It's a guy's art. It's art. That's basically what you've got going. The other thing I've noticed, and I know we're talking a lot of NFTs here, is that when a project sells out, the floor is initially higher when they've not yet been revealed, because you don't know what you're going to get. It's kind of like rolling the dice. Like, I'm looking at these Al Cabones right now. not yet been revealed. Floor is 0.63 ETH on one. Once they're revealed, I bet you'll be able to get floor ones cheaper that are revealed.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because there's the chance that you can get something super rare in an unrevealed one.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Because, you know, like, there's that hope that you get something really cool and rare. And you're like, oh, God, please. And you're like, nope, I got something shitty. All right, dumping it. But really, a lot of times, if it's a cool series, most of them are pretty good. Like, I have a Pudgy Penguin that is it's not really special, but the floor is 3.75 ETH. And so when 3.75 ETH is the number, and ETH is, what, $3,200 or whatever? It's a total number. Like, times 3.75, like, that's $12,000.
Guys, we talk NFTs all the time on the Nifty Show, our other podcast. It's every Tuesday and Thursday comes out. And on Tuesday, we lean more towards the news. And on Thursdays, we do a live show and interview people in the space with the projects that are coming out. So I want to make two comments about that. One is Gary Vaynerchuk did one of the most brilliant things, more brilliant than VFriends perhaps, that I've seen done in the NFT space. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday. So make sure you go subscribe to the Nifty Show on your podcast player, because this is going to blow you away. It's an incredible business-minded decision that he made. I'm absolutely floored by what he's done. That's one thing. The other thing is there's two launches coming up on Wax this week that either Travis or myself are involved in. One of them is the Stony Baloney card set. These cards are freaking hilarious. The artwork is fantastic. If you're 420 friendly, especially, you'll enjoy this. It happens on Tuesday, the 31st. At 4:20 p.m. StonyBaloneyCards.com. We'll have a link to that right here in these show notes. Okay, so badco.in/544 is where you'll find
the show notes. No, it's 544.
So badco.in/544. The other one is Darren Cullen at Graffiti Kings is launching a generative series on Wax. And there's 10,000 crypto Moonboy Bitcoin kids. And he said very specifically, I don't want a single one of these to be treated like their floor. I want every single piece of artwork from these 10,000 to be highly desirable. So he doesn't want any that just have two attributes. He wants them to be loaded, like at least four or five attributes each, so that you get a really unique original piece of art. The website for this launches on Monday at CryptoMoonBoys.com. The launch takes place at noon Eastern on Friday, September 3rd. We're involved in both of these. You know, while we're not financial advisors, we are specialists in NFTs, and every project that we have been a part of so far has sold out completely. So we recommend that you take a look at these two. And again, you'll find links in the show notes.
Let the nifties hit the float. Let the nifties hit the float. All right. Great stuff. Yeah, this is like a little combo episode here. So if you don't listen to the Nifty Show that we have, the NFT specific one, you're going to want to tune into that. Maybe, because there's some great stuff going on in the space. And so it's definitely a lot of some people look at it and go, oh, God, they're JPEGs and blah, blah, blah. No, they're advanced media. These are things that are unlocking experiences. They're not just images. They're not just JPEGs. They can be videos, images, text, audio, links, AR, VR, 360, geo proximity based. They can unlock when you're at venues. You can do so many different things, and they're programmable. They can change over time. Like, there's so much going on, and it's only getting started. And I tell you what, it's one of the ways, like, in talking and learning and researching about NFTs and crypto, is that's one of the ways that will help you stay back.
Bad. Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.